The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles. Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman,
Harshman,
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparic,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart, Lockhart, excused, Laux,
here.
Lubno,
excused,
Lubno, excused, Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Miller,
Moniz, here.
Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Steward,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Ronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Harshman,
excused.
Harshman excused. 56 present, 4 excused.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, as we gather today, we are mindful of so much happening in the world, happening within our state, happening within our own families, happening within this room. We thank you, Lord, for your sure and certain presence in all of those situations. We ask, Lord, that you be with our world. Be with places that are torn apart by war and conflict and civil unrest. Be with places where people struggle to figure out how they're going to survive simply another day. Be with places that are in desperate need of good news and a word of hope. Help us, O Lord, to be mindful of those situations and be mindful of how blessed we are to be in this country. We pray, O Lord, for the needs of this state as we continue to discuss the many different opportunities to better serve the people of Wyoming. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be open to new ideas and possibilities, to the movement of your spirit within this legislative group. We ask, Lord, that you will be with our families, those that we've been separated from for quite some time. We thank you, Lord, for their willingness to pick up slack while we are away and the ways in which they cover while we are gone. We pray that you will give them an extra added measure of strength and patience to get through the things that are set before them this day. We pray, O Lord, that you be with each of us. The days have grown long and we may be a bit weary at this point, anxious for the light at the end of the tunnel that still seems a bit far off. Help us, O Lord, to focus on the tasks that are at hand, to be mindful of the difference that we can make even when we are a bit tired. Help us, O Lord, to serve you faithfully in all that we seek to do. We thank you, Lord, for this call to serve, for the ways that you bless our lives. And we pray that you will be with us this day and in all the days ahead. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We were at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 23rd has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And I would call on Representative Simlek at this time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. It's a special day for me, not because it's near, only because it's near the end of the session, but because I do have some family members here, and we know how encouraging that could be to us. So, in the North Gallery this morning, members of the House, I have the former administrator of the Moorcroft Christian School, which just so happens to be my wife up there. And we have the current administrator of Solid Rock Christian Academy in Moorcroft, who just so happens to be my daughter-in-law, Brooke. And we have my son, Toby, up there, and their two children, Gracie and Tatum. And the little girl that my wife is holding is our granddaughter, Allie. And she is the daughter of our nurse of the day, which is in the back, Angela Haar. So welcome to the House.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In the North Gallery is my wife that most of you know, but also joining us from the land of 10,000 lakes is my daughter, Catherine Stotts.
Representative Roscoe.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
I'd like to straighten out one thing before I introduce some friends and officials from Pinedale, is that when we were putting numbers on the license plate years and years ago, that those numbers were determined not by population, as a lot of people think, but by assessed value of that county. Number 23 at that time is now number one in assessed value, and so... So whether we're number one in your hearts, we are number one on the financial record for the state. And I would like to introduce some esteemed members from Pinedale, my new intern, Mariah Strike, and two junior town council members, Ashley Calderon and Jared Atanasio. Also with them is the mayor of Pinedale, Steve Smith, the county engineer, Eugene Nunning, and town councilman, Dave Hull. Please welcome them.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
It's not often we get the best sheep man in Wyoming here down here in the legislature. I'd like to introduce my former seatmate when I was a freshman. Frank sat on my right. Dell was still on the left. The good doctor was behind me, and Representative Hagerman was in front of me. And you talk about a group that was great as a freshman. To roll over to Frank especially and said, Frank, what in the world's going on? I introduce Frank, former chair of appropriations, and a great guy from Fremont County.
Well, Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for this. It means a lot to me to come down here and have this kind of a reception. It still just astounds me that after all those years that I got up here and talked against all your amendments, and I don't know how you can still stand beside of me, but anyway, it's great to come down here and see everybody, and I'm doing pretty good, really. And before I go on, my sister, Elizabeth, she's here somewhere up in the gallery, and her and her fiancé, Jerry Deltz. And Liz, she's still carrying my load on the ranch. She really does a lot, you know, and has done a lot since I've been. Well, I still do a little work, but I'm still not worth a whole lot. But anyway, she. But I'm doing much better than I was a year ago, and they still haven't really diagnosed whatever it is, but I'm getting some treatment now that's working, and it was just a matter of going through a process down there in the University of Colorado Hospital to finally arrive at the right doctor and the right treatment. But I was fortunate, and I really feel blessed, and I sure thank everybody for all their prayers and thoughts and all the cards and letters I got and emails. And, you know, I was just really helped. And I really appreciate all of that. And, somebody last night was asking me about how the legislature was doing. And I was kind of mumbling. And she said, "You're mumbling." And I said, "Well, they're doing a great job." and really you are, and I, you know, it's a hard job, and far be it for me to come here and criticize what you're doing. I think you're all in all doing a great job and doing the best thing you think you can for the state of Wyoming, and I really appreciate that, and I want to say thank you for all the work you've done over the last 40 days and 80 nights. Last night I fell into bad company and I was out pretty late, and then I got up real early to go have breakfast, you know, with Rosie and some people. and I'm not used to that. I'm used to going to bed late, early and getting up late. But anyway, I appreciate all the work you're doing. I know it's pretty hard by this time in the stage of the game. It's hard, but. Anyway, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Don't let him fool you. It was him that kept us up late last night. We were at that order of business reading and signing of enrolled acts. We may have neglected to announce the doctor of the day in our other announcements, but just briefly before we get to enrolled acts, Jerry Gardner from Cheyenne is here and in the back. Welcome, doctor. We are at that order of business signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act is House Enrolled Act 37.
House Enrolled Act number 37, being original House Bill 5, an act relating to the University of Wyoming, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 37, being original House Bill 5. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 38.
House Enrolled Act number 38, being original House Bill 37, an act relating to state archives, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 38, being original House Bill 37. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 39.
House Enrolled Act number 39, being original House Bill 63. An act relating to subdivisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign enrolled act number 39, being original House Bill 63. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 40.
House Enrolled Act number 40, being original House Bill 110, an act relating to civil actions, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About sign enrolled act number 40, being original House Bill 110. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 41.
House Enrolled Act number 41, being original House Bill number 111, an act relating to public works and contracts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 41, being original House Bill 111. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 42.
House Enrolled Act number 42, being original House Bill number 124, an act relating to the military, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 42, being original House Bill 124. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 43.
House Enrolled Act number 43, being original House Bill 143, an act relating to taxation and revenue, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About signed Enrolled Act number 43, being original House Bill 143. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 44.
House Enrolled Act number 44, being original House Bill 153, an act relating to fuel tax, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About signed Enrolled Act number 44, being original House Bill 153. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 45.
House Enrolled Act number 45, being original House Bill 159, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign House Enrolled Act number 45, being original House Bill 159. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 46.
House Enrolled Act number 46, being original House Bill 81, an act relating to property, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 46, being original House Bill 81. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 47.
House Enrolled Act number 47, being original House Bill 246, an act relating to the Military Department and the Board of Land Commissioners, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About signed Enrolled Act number 47, being original House Bill 246. I have so signed. We are at that order of business of calling on Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you and all of the staff down here for the love and the support that I felt and for your prayers and your thoughts. Those helped tremendously. My brother was quite worried, though. My older brother, because he said, if they can get by without you for all those days, then why are you going back? But I just want you to know how much that meant to me to have all of you with me through this time. Thank you.
Oh, Representative Davison, our thoughts and prayers were with you and will continue to be with you, and we're glad to have you back, and I hope you know we all love you very much, okay? We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to the Wyoming Long-Term Care Choices Act.
Senate File 25 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by the Development of Intellectual Program, an act relating to the Medicaid program, Developmental Disability Services.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29 and ask for your favorable consideration If you'll turn to page 4 of your bill. Page 4. The first part of it is just technical corrections, but on page 4, line 13, we're talking about the program shall include a required curriculum and standards for certification and evaluation of dual diagnosis behavioral specialists. And then after the comma, delete consistent with and insert where certificates will qualify for reimbursements under the Section 8 of this section. And it's just so it's just to make it more consistent, and it's all just technical corrections. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29 has been adopted. Senate File 29 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by Senator Emmerich, an act relating to health insurance definitions.
Senate File 37 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to concealed weapons.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have been, I bring before you second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill, or Senate File 47, and I would move its adoption at this time and ask for your favorable consideration. I have been asked by a number of healthcare facilities, including my local hospital, to bring this forward for your consideration. Even at dinner last night, I ran into, I believe she's the administrator of the hospital celebrating its 100th anniversary in the middle of the state, who told me that her folks in the emergency room really have some concerns about the possibility of folks bringing concealed weapons into the emergency room. So this is, I think we already have a list of exceptions for this right to carry a concealed weapon, pretty minor list, and I think that adding healthcare facilities is consistent with the policy reflected in the other places where a concealed weapon can be prohibited. And I would stand for any questions.
First time, Representative Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, and for a couple of reasons. I think throughout the entire process of this bill being presented in both houses, adding to the list of restrictions was not, it never came up in the discussion. It was never considered. Because this also, adding to this list, affects people who are carrying concealed with a permit. And we've tried to avoid adding more and more places to that list. Many of you may not know, but Wyoming has one of the most exhaustive lists of restrictions where you can and cannot carry concealed in the United States. So I'm going to encourage the body not to mess with subsection T as part of this piece of legislation, if it's something that we would like to look at in the next session, then so be it. But I'm going to ask you not to vote for this amendment and let this piece of legislation move forward. Thank you.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also would like you to not vote for this amendment. I think the bill that we discussed at length yesterday, we did have already talked about some of these concerns about where I think this bill is about how you carry and who can carry. And I think we're just getting into an area that might need to be looked at, but that's another bill for another day. So I just think we need to resist this, vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gay, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment. I have the dubious distinction of being a frequent attendee at the hospitals, various hospitals in the center part of the state. One of my favorite ones there has a big stencil message on the door as you walk in that says this is a weapons-free campus, and also know from firsthand experience that some of the doctors at that very campus take the liberty of carrying their own concealed weapons while they're on duty. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Randish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, our hospital has those great big signs, too. And the other thing is, if you're checking in to get some lab work or something done, they've got a big form that they want you to sign. And buried right in the middle of page 3, it says, if you are found carrying a concealed firearm, they will take it away from you and they will keep it. And every time I've seen that, I've crossed it out, I've initialed it, and they've never refused to provide me service of that. But, you know, they're really, really opposed to it, and I would encourage you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, second time? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While it's true that a number of our public facilities around the state do post these signs, they probably, under existing law, do not actually have the authority to do that. According to some research that has been done, which is why I think sort of late in the game our hospitals have come to some of us requesting that this be added to the statute, because they were under the impression that they had the authority, and only the state has the authority. Counties, we recently had a case out of the land of the Tetons, I believe, pointing out the limits of county public health folks to regulate. Counties do only have the authority that we give them, and our county hospitals, our special districts, do not have independent authority to ban firearms under the current law. At least that's what is sitting in front of me. So that's the reason for this. And I don't really see any reason for someone to carry a concealed weapon into a hospital. I've never been attacked in a hospital, had some babies there, but really have felt the need to never felt the need to protect myself in a hospital, and I think it poses risk to our healthcare providers. And again, this addition is consistent with the other items that are already in statute. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 47 has failed. Representatives Wanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a second reading amendment to Senate file 47 and ask for your favorable consideration. This goes right along with what the former speaker was just mentioning, and it's probably the part that gives me heartburn. And I've checked with the LSO office and with some of the fine attorneys here in this body about what was just discussed about case law, that can you put people on notice that your business does not want a concealed firearm on their property. And my understanding is that there's a bundle of rights that goes with your property, but it's not really defined. So my amendment just puts some clarification to it. So if you run a bingo hall and you're worried those senior citizens are a little bit scared of firearms, that you have the right to put up a notice that no firearms are allowed in the bingo hall. It would go with banks. It would go with the hospitals. It would go just with anywhere that we want to protect our private property rights. So this is a clarification, and I did talk to the sponsor on it and asked if he could find some case law, anything that would say that we do have the right to put those signs up and that they are enforceable. So this amendment just simply states, if you read Part T, it says that no permit issued pursuant to this section, shall authorize a person to carry. So it doesn't say totally that you can't. It just says that we're not authorizing it. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and stand for questions.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment. As a business owner, if I don't want people to carry on my property, I can put up a sign and prohibit them from carrying. But again, this amendment gets us away from the purpose of the bill, which is to provide consistency in the places that you're allowed to open carry, you're now allowed to conceal carry. And now this just actually muddies that water a little bit, because it's saying that we've now got the right to ban concealed carry, but not open carry. I'm not really sure there. Like I said, I've got the right to put up a sign and not allow weapons on my property. So this is unnecessary, and it gets away from the purpose of the bill, which is not about the where. It's about just making our statutes consistent.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. And let me just start from the beginning. There was some discussion about case law and about one particular case from Teton. That had nothing to do with this issue. Let me just point that out right now. There was a bill earlier in the session that could have had some applicability to this. That bill's gone. I mean, it died. So you have to back up and say, okay, open carry is one thing. So open carry right now does not have any restrictions. The only restriction on open carry is you can't go into a jail or a prison facility. You can go anywhere you want. Then under subsection T, we listed these are the places you can't go with concealed weapons. Now, as to private property, you can always put a sign up. That's your proprietary right. So there's two different rights being discussed here. There's your proprietary right and what we call your regulatory right or legislative right. The legislative right is if the state said you can't do this. You always have the proprietary right. Now, we did have a bill earlier to deal with that proprietary right, and we said no to that. So you always have the right to put the little sign on the door and say, I don't want weapons in my business or in this building, regardless if it's open or concealed. This is only dealing with concealed, so this gets a little weird. I don't know what you're going to do. You put up a little sign that says, no concealed, but open, come on in. That just seems odd to me. So this subject matter was dealt with in a different bill. We defeated that bill. The whole issue of what should be in subsection T, we can come back to. I mean, I'll just give a quick example. We actually, under our law, does not say technically that you cannot take open carry into a courthouse. The only reason we don't take open carry into a courthouse is the proprietary right of the county commissioners to say no. So this idea that the commissioners do not have the right, they do under their proprietary right, perhaps not under their legislative right. So I would urge you to vote no on this. And if this is an issue that someone needs to deal with, this is a subject matter for a much bigger bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, same subject, another speaker, but I think the how we can carry and the who can carry is what we're discussing here. So I think we've discussed, well, we've heard the testimony already. I just don't think this is what we want to do with this bill. So I'd urge your defeat of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. I know how this bill is going to go, and I know what's going to happen to the amendment. But I'd like you to know that I have no intention at all of putting up a sign saying that you can't enter my house with a concealed weapon or an open weapon. You won't be welcome. I can't imagine that we would be in the position of thinking that you had a right to come into my home with a concealed weapon or an open weapon. So I'm in hopes that if the amendment were to pass, that it would clarify that, but perhaps with the legal explanation we just got, I wanted to make sure that I understood what my legal rights were with my property.
Chair Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just on and against the amendment for all the same reasons that have already been discussed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm having trouble with this because it looks to me like if we don't pass this amendment, that in a way we've taken away a property right for an owner of a business or the owner of some kind of an entity. You know, I guess if it was some lawyer that explained that to me, but it just looks to me like if we don't put this in here, then are we saying that a business doesn't have a right to prevent people from coming on to his property with a concealed weapon?
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Ronish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to that last question, what we're talking about is that's a trespass. You have a right to put up on your business that you don't want firearms in there. And if someone carries a concealed firearm or any kind of a firearm in there, it has become a trespass issue, and the police can deal with that. But it's not a criminal issue. It's a civil issue. Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Looking at the amendment, if you look at existing law under 11, Romanet 11, it says any place where the carry of firearms is prohibited by federal law or regulation or state law or regulation. If you put a sign up on your property, in my mind, I'm regulating what can happen on my property. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Croker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know the exact appropriate time for this, but when it's time for the vote pursuant to House Rule 13-3, I would like to call for the ayes and the noes.
I'm assuming you're talking about on the... Okay. Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Wanser, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate all the discussion. And I want to let you know I did go into LSO. I talked to the three attorneys in there, and it was unclear. They believe that you have the right to put property signs on your property that says, you know, you cannot carry a concealed weapon. And I know there's been some references made about the open carry law, but this bill is not about open carry. I mean, it's irrelevant to what we're trying to do here. We're talking about concealed. If we could talk about both of them and run amendment to both of them, then we would talk about that in an open discussion. So what we have to talk about is what we have in front of us. And if I felt that it was well defined, I would not have brought this amendment. But I think in the fact that apparently at least everyone that I have talked to is not able to find any case law, is not able to find anything in our statutes that specifically says that this cannot happen, I believe it's a clarification. And I believe it's an important clarification. And for that reason, I would, and of course, that would get my heartache over the whole bill, because being a small business owner, I would like to have that right to say and make it understood that everybody realizes that for whatever reason, as a small business, that I don't want them in my place of business. Yesterday we talked about coming into a legislative meeting, and apparently nobody wanted to vote against that. So what you guys are basically suggesting is that it's fine for anybody else in the state, but don't bring a gun to one of our meetings. So I'm just trying to protect some property rights. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 47. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 17 aye, 41 no, 2 excused.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 47 has failed. Senate File 47 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding Medicaid.
Senate File 50 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by School Finance, an act relating to public education, education accountability.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, fellow representatives, I bring you second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70, and ask that for your positive consideration. And the reason why we brought this, if you'll look, you'll see who the sponsors are, and there were more. It was the people who served as school board members. And we like the idea of the amendment as it was, as far as consideration for training of those members. But school boards as a whole aren't going to be attracting better people by having compensation. And school board members as a whole don't really want compensation. So we would ask that you vote for our amendment, which all it does is delete the compensation part of this.
Move your amendment.
And I move the amendment.
Chairman Teeters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, if you read the amendment that we adopted on Committee of the Whole, it says that we are going to address recommendations. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to come back with a recommendation that we're going to come forward with a compensation package. But I think it's something that's worth looking at. You cannot expect people to manage a $1.3 billion budget and not compensate them something. People that serve on school boards lose money and to serve on those boards, and it's a sacrifice, not unlike what we do here, although I would like to think that here at least we are at least compensated enough that we can survive while we're down here. School boards don't even have that. You know, we've had some people come forward and say that they served on school boards. I would say that they can't speak for everybody in the state, and maybe they do have excellent recruitment on their boards. But there are places where it's quite frankly too big of a sacrifice, and people are not willing to do it because there is no compensation. The rest of the story for me is I think if you pay people even a little bit, I mean, even if we just came forward with a couple $100 a month, they're going to do a better job. That's just human nature. You learn that in psychology, that if you provide some compensation, people will put more effort into what they're doing. School boards are extremely important. They're the backbone of this system. We really need to encourage them to step up to the plate, and I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to consider compensation. That's all we're doing is considering it. So don't tie the hands of the select committee by removing this language. I would urge you to vote no.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against this amendment, I've got 22 years of experience as a board member, and I'll tell you what the compensation is. It's
children at this high that you watch go through from kindergarten to K to 12, and they graduate. Then you watch your grandkids this high do the same process. That's the compensation, folks. When you start putting dollars and cents to that elected position, then you take away the reason that we want to be there. Those are the reasons we're there. It's because we have that vested interest in our families. When you start putting dollars and cents to this, then you lose that volunteerism spirit that makes our schools what they are. The board members that serve, in this case, maybe they're losing money. They really aren't losing money, folks. They're investing in their future, their children's future, and their grandchildren. On and against this amendment. On and for this amendment. Excuse me.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Snuck up on you up here. I know it. But just a quick I thought about this. And I agree the good chairman over here has said that don't tie their hands on this. But, you know, this is voted on every year by this organization that these people all belong to. And every year they turn down that opportunity to be paid. They selected this. They're the ones that says we don't want to be paid. We want to do this for the right reason. And it's not for money. It's for the kids. It's for what we believe should go forward. And so for that, I'm on for this on the amendment and on for the bill. So thank you.
Chairman Sinlake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the good chairman of education's comments were appropriate, and I would just kind of reinforce them with respect to what's already in the previous amendment where we talked about giving the select committee an opportunity to take a look at this. I've got several messages in the last 12 hours with respect to these issues, not only compensation but training, and I think some of the board members out there in the school district feel that maybe they haven't really been involved in this debate we've had the last few hours. So I think it's appropriate for this for us to defeat this amendment and consider to have this conversation with our boards along with the select committee and see what they want to do. It doesn't compel them, the select committee, to say that we have to do it. It just says it's given an opportunity to do it. And I think the more we can engage the local boards, the better we'll be. So on against the amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On against the amendment, it's good to see a divided school board here on the House floor. And, I looked at that lineup. I thought, man, this might be like a 9-0 vote on the school board. But so I appreciate the comments of the previous speaker from House District 1. I think, and I really appreciate the bringers of this amendment. And they're, I guess I just look at it through a different lens as just to give this select committee maybe the opportunity to just address this and look at it. And I don't know that they'd bring back a recommendation for pay. It'd be modest if there was. But I think I'd look at it as a way to kind of bolster local control. And I see this thing here on the state level. And so if we're going to have local control for, you know, $1.3 billion and many hundreds of million more in federal money, I just thought this is getting to be a pretty big job. And the training part, I think, is important. I appreciate the folks leaving that in with this amendment. But I think like all our jobs, like the legislature, it's just become more. And I look at the work at my local board. None of them have asked for this. I think they'd scoff if they knew us even up to this. But I think it does no harm to at least let the committee take a look at this. And it's going to be a modest thing, if any at all. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart for first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had several requests from school board members, trustees, both in my own district and outside the district. And what they've asked is, if you have the opportunity, would you review this and consider it? That's all we're doing at this point, is reviewing it and considering it. That's all they've asked for is a fair hearing on the issue, and they're willing to live with the decision of the select committee that does this. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Freeman.
As a teacher, I appreciate what
school board members do and trustees do. As a trustee, I know how hard that that job is. But a person who has been involved with public service for 30 years, I don't want to see the spirit of public service to be diluted by compensation. Before I ran for the House, I had three people that encouraged me to run for our local county commissioners. And they looked at me and they said, this would be perfect for you, John. You could get $30,000 a year, you could retire, and you could be a full-time county commissioner. And I don't want to be a county commissioner just so that I could retire. I want to be a county commissioner because I think that I could take care of county issues. I think that that's the same thing that we should expect from people that are on boards of trustees and on school boards for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Coming from the land of the camels, I'm putting my nose under the side of the tent here. I don't know how many school board members there are in the state of Wyoming. I understand from my good friend who used to be the chairman of the School Board Association, we're talking about 900 or 1,000 school board members. If you pay them $1,000 per year to serve, we pay that out of our budget. That's money that comes out of our kids' education. If you pay them more than that, it's even more than that. So if you claim to be fiscally conservative, don't let my nose under your tent, because I know what I'll do once I get there.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising against the amendment, I've known a lot of really good people with very limited resources that I think they would only ask that we at least just consider this against the amendment.
Representative Miller.
On and against the amendment and to reserve my second time.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, in regards to the previous comments, I would say that if we could spend less than 0.1% of the total school finance budget and improve our scores by 1 or 2%, it would be money well spent. And I don't know if that's the case or not. All I'm asking for is the opportunity during the interim is to put my brain on this for a while and determine whether or not we could actually move scores by improving the quality of our school boards. We don't expect our county commissioners to work for free, and the state of Wyoming doesn't expect you to sit here and work for free. So how can you sit here and be compensated for your public service and at the same time deny compensation to a school board member? It doesn't seem fair to me. I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Second time, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For my second time, again, speaking for the amendment, and let me say it this way. Board members and trustees themselves receive training from their school districts. They also receive some compensation in terms of reimbursements for their mileage to attend meetings. I would tell you that the value that a board member brings to the table as a public servant is what we're talking about. And to offer them compensation dilutes that spirit of public service. You know, I've been there, and I've done this. And I realize that providing a compensation would change the dynamic. It would change the character of those public servants wanting to serve in that capacity. Here's the deal. We're asking you not to put this in statute, because the committee itself can do this as an interim topic. There's no need to put this in statute. On and for the amendment.
Representative Freeman, second time.
There's two parts to this this amendment, or the part of the bill. One of them says let's pay our trustees. Second part is let's educate them. If we are going to spend money, I think we will get better test results by training our trustees to know what the issues are and know that there are other ways of skinning the cat, for lack of a better way of putting it. I think that we should save our money and we should train our trustees. I'm down here as a school teacher and I'm not being compensated for it because under state law I can either take the money that they give me in the legislature or my salary. So I'm basically here living on the per diem. People are willing to make that sacrifice, and we see that over and over and over again.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's interesting, I guess, the evolution of debate on this floor and how the model's fine. There's lots of money in the model. We can't tinker with the model. We can't add any more money for education. And then when we start to ask for compensating school board trustees, suddenly it's important to add money, and that's not a consistent position that we should have on the floor. Our dollars should be devoted toward our students and not our trustees. Trustees are there because of volunteer service. And training is available, and it's available for our school district. And if we need to study it, that's fine. We study things all the time. You go to management council, you ask them for the ability to study it during the interim, and we study it. And there's no legislation that's required to do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, on and for this amendment, I think that this is just bad public policy. You shouldn't compensate volunteers because it changes the character of your volunteers.
Representative Harshman, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think it's interesting how much debate this little amendment's gotten, but appreciate the all the school board members bringing this, but and I appreciate the school board members who spoke against the amendment as I do. I think it does no harm. Let's just take a look at it. We're not asking. It's not any nose under any tent or any insidious thing or anything that's whacked out in an interim study, for goodness sakes. I think it's just an opportunity to look at this issue. And we very well might, given this conservative body, say, we're not going to pay you. But let's at least have the ability to kind of hear from some more board members out there and from their representing agencies and those folks around the state as we talk this whole level of accountability. Schools, teachers, principals, students, boards, and legislatures. And so we all have a stake in it. So appreciate your defeat of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Miller, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. You know, it just concerns me. I keep hearing public servants, you know, that actually make double the average person in the private sector. I don't get it. We keep talking about it. They're there for the goodness of the public, but yet they want to draw salaries that are twice what's happening in the private sector. So, you know, again, for the community colleges, even, you know, that'll be the next one here, so keep that in mind. But for the K through 12 school board members, you know, I think this is important. I'm not so sure somehow some sort of package needs to be put together. The superintendent and the school board maybe should be one set amount, you know, for certain size districts, and they divide it how they wish. And because I think they need to be more involved in the process and not just being a yes man to the superintendent. And that's what I've seen happen a number of times on and against this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker and fellow representatives, thanks for this conversation on this particular issue. I guess I'd like to mention that there are 900 to 1,000, maybe a little more, school board members across Wyoming who realize that they are the only elected officials to represent children and their education, and they don't do it for the compensation. So I ask you to vote for this amendment.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. All those against? The amendment is adopted. Senate File 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to professions and occupations regarding dietetics licensure.
Senate File 93, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 102.
Senate File 102, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to the administration of government regards to the Medicaid cost study.
Senate File 102, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to counties' energy-impacted county roads program.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 107 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, if you remember yesterday, we passed this bill for grants for energy-impacted county roads with $12 million associated with it. And for many of us, we recognize that this is absolutely our responsibility to take care of infrastructure, and that we're in fact quite grateful that we have some new play in the eastern part of the state. But the $12 million was a lot of money, and for that $12 million, counties are obligated to go through a grant process, and that grant process is on page 4 of the bill with three Romanettes, 1, 2, and 3. And what this amendment does is beef up one of those Romanettes, number 2. Number 2 asks in the grant application whether the county has demonstrated that it has pursued alternative methods of funding, including cost sharing from private sources. The amendment defines those private sources a little bit more by saying specifically including companies responsible for significant negative impact to existing roads and bridges, and whether the county has pursued an agreement with those companies for future road and bridge maintenance. And so the purpose of this is to, in the grant process, to make sure that the counties and companies have sat down and talked about what the potential future impact will be, so that we as a body, in all honesty, understand what perhaps might be the kind of financial responsibility or the fiscal impact to us. And so I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the amendment, and I appreciate the good conservative amendment today that's really going to tighten this up. And those counties need to have road use agreements in place before they should be eligible for money. The companies that are impacting the roads need to be partners. They need to do what's right, and this amendment accomplishes that. I urge your support.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I'm in for this amendment. But I've been sitting here, and also I did look at the pictures. My concern is the bad operators that don't take care of the work. Having worked for one of the major companies, and having been a supervisor for that company for field operations, most of the time these things are taken care of with a simple phone call. And also the companies notify the people that could be impacted and encourage them to call. But there are companies that don't do this. And I do appreciate the bill and an attempt to take care of that, but I really feel like that possibly the committee, the Minerals Committee, needs to look at this to come up with a way to take care of those people that don't do the job, because it isn't the entire industry that's doing it, but there are a number of bad operators. So I'd just like to mention that. But on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, second time, Representative Conley?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I try to tell this body that I am fiscally tight as a turnip, and none of you believe me. But I thank the comments from my conservative colleagues, and I call for the question.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 107, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 107 has been adopted. Senate File 107 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 121.
Senate File 121, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to environmental quality regarding performance-based evaluation and design.
Senate File 121 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 143.
Senate File 143, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to public funds, federal natural resource policy.
Senate File 143 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative McKim.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Please,
Mr. Speaker,
proceed.
Please. In the south balcony up here, we have our county commissioner, Kent Conley. It's with us today. We'd like to welcome him to our chamber.
We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 33, 45, 72, 79, 85, 134, 138, and 147.
Would anyone wish to remove any of those bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 33, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding acquisition of lands, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to professional services procurement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 72, introduced by Senator Christensen, an act relating to the Fair Practices Equipment Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 79, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to Recreation Safety Act, waiver on behalf of minors, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to game and fish violations and penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 134, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to liens, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 138, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to parental rights regarding child custody orders, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 147, introduced by Senator Dockstader, an act relating to county sheriff's service of process fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker. Crone. Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Patton. Aye. Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne. Throne. Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Yagi? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 33, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Semlick, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 45, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 72, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. Oh, Croker, conflict? Any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 excused, 1 conflict. As to Senate File 79, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 85, are there any changes? Semlick, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 134, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 138, are there any changes? Gay? Aye to no. Peasley? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 147, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Braunisch, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 33, 45, 72, 79, 85, 134, 138, and 147 have passed the House. Representatives Wanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Brothers and sisters of the 61st, today in the North Gallery, you will see cadets of Class 11 for the Wyoming Youth Challenge Program in Guernsey. This is about halfway through their process. They came in January. They met with the governor this morning. They've been watching the Senate for about 45 minutes, got tired, and came over here. And so hopefully we can show a more lively debate. The commandant of the program, Don Smith, is with them up there somewhere in the gallery. But if you would please make Class 11 of the Youth Challenge Program feel welcome.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you County Commissioner from Niobrara County. He's been staked out here faithfully for the last couple days. So up in the east balcony is Richard Ladwig.
Welcome to the House. The next order of business is bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first and only bill is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to administration of government, state-funded construction projects, preference provisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number one. If you recall, we talked about this the last 2 days. This is a temporary bill that will only be in effect for the next year. It's sort of a pilot project, an experiment, to see how this works. And if the experiment doesn't work well, we put in a provision that allows the governor to void the law or change the law as he sees fit. What I wanted to make clear, because the statement was made that this was only for state projects, I didn't want to confuse the cities and counties with this experiment, and I wanted to make sure that was clear. Everyone says it doesn't apply to the cities and counties, but then I didn't see that really clarified in here that it does not apply to cities and counties. So I went and just put in an amendment that just simply says this applies to state, University of Wyoming, school facilities, and community college projects. So it was better clarified that this did not apply to cities and counties. Maybe after the experiment has run, then it could. But I thought if we're going to experiment, let's just try these projects first.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm somewhat indifferent to this amendment, but I would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I think it's our responsibility to consider all projects. If you think about the budget that we're about to pass, I hope anyway, when you think about us allocating or appropriating $45 million to cities, towns, and counties, another $25 million to a project in northeast Wyoming, which we think is a high priority, $40 million, for example, to highways, do you not think it's our responsibility if we're looking at all avenues of what is fair and competitive? And, you know, quite frankly, I think my local government does a good job with contracts and open bids and things like that. I'm not an attorney. I'm an appropriator. I think it's important when we're looking at a pilot project, when I have several pages of appeals by individuals who say that there was not a fair and open bid process, that as Wyoming contractors, they were not given an opportunity to bid, that we should give all an opportunity to bid. So with that, I would ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Harshman.
On against amendment, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. And really, I think the key is on page 9, excuse me, line 9 of the amendment, page 5, lines 11 and 12, where deletion of for all other projects by respective governing body. I don't think there was, I don't recall debate over the last 2 days that talked about exempting locals from this. In fact, that wasn't the intent of this legislation at all. It's about all publicly funded projects and with alternative delivery methods. And given the fact our generous appropriation last year, coupled with another $45 million that is going to CapCon, going to capital projects, folks, we're not sending that to operating funds with our locals. These are going to go for capital projects. And so we want to ensure that our locals have a fair and open process, particularly on opening of subcontractor bids on these alternative delivery methods. And we do not want to see the bid shopping that's been going on. And so so I'd urge your defeat of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Ranish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm also for the bill and against the amendment. I come from a town that's on a border, and we're about 3 miles away from a state that looks like Sweetwater County turned sideways. But, and I give these guys a bad time about their pins are always, their Utah pins are sideways, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, we have, you know, this, we need to support our local contractors. And the money that they earn stays in the community. They buy equipment in that community, hopefully. And, we need to support our local contractors and our local people, and I would urge you to vote against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, rising for the amendment, excuse me, against the amendment for the bill, I just don't want to see us take any teeth out of this to do everything we can to keep all the money that we're spreading around the state for projects of any kind. We want to keep that in the state and create jobs with it. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you read on page 5 of the bill, Roman at 5 under D5, it says that all other projects can be waived by the respective governing body anyway. So I don't know as if the amendment is necessary, because if they do the waiver through the waiver process, they have the ability to do it anyway. So it seems like there already is an opt-out in the bill without exempting anybody. You just have to specify in writing why you waive out of the process.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The discussion may have actually confused me more, because now I'm hearing publicly funded. As I heard it, it was state funded. But now I'm confused if this applies to cities and counties, if it's just a county project that no state funds are involved, or if everyone has to do this. What I'm really worried about is the local contractor. Understand, this bill isn't dealing with local contractors. This is a bill for big contractors. Does everyone understand how this works? It's a 5% preference. If you win the 5% preference, what that really means is that you have to make sure 70% of the job goes to subs that are from Wyoming. What this whole bill's about is allowing them to waive that requirement of the 70%. So the big company gets the contract. Great. That's great for the big Wyoming company. The bad part of this bill is the little subs don't have to get awarded. They get to waive that provision. That's why they put the governor part in, because they're not sure that's actually going to work. Because what will end up happening, and now I understand why they want to put the governor part in, and I actually sort of agree with it now, because what you could run into the problem, you're going to award it to the big company, and then suddenly there's going to be this potential waiver of the 70%, and the little guys won't be getting the jobs. And that's the part for me that is giving me a lot of heartburn with this bill. You know, it's an experiment. We're only going to run it for a year. You know, I just don't think it's been well vetted. And I'm concerned about now we're going to put it on the cities and counties and now allow the cities and counties to waive out the 70% rule. So suddenly the cities and counties, sure, they're going to find a big Wyoming company to take the big part of the job. But now you're giving the power to the cities and counties to waive away 70%. Those are those small contractors. Those are the people in my community. I'm not too worried about the big guys. I'm worried about the little guys. Those are the people that make our economy work in our small towns. And I'm not sure this bill's doing what people think it's doing. And again, that's why we don't do bills this way, where we put in there that if we screw it up, the governor gets to overrule it, and we're only going to do it for a year, and we think we got it right, but we'll try. it's just very frustrating, the procedure part. I certainly believe in the heart and where people are trying to get to, but I just don't think this bill has been fully vetted far enough. I think at least let's vote for this amendment and exempt the cities and counties out of this, and let's see how it works with the state first. And then next year, if it was a perfect thing, we'll come back, put cities and counties back in, and we'll make it a permanent bill. We'll say, hey, this was a great idea. But, it's just still so confusing to me.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 144, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Senate File 144 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Goggles,
aye. Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart excused, Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Brechtel. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 144 having been received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 144 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to our House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 328 to House Bill 217. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move concurrence to House Bill number 217 and ask for your aye vote. You can see that the change that the Senate made was simply to reduce the amount of funding under the bill from $50,000 to not $25,000 but $24,500. Speaking with the sponsor of the bill, he is willing to reluctantly bow to the inevitable and ask you to approve the concurrence.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 217. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller. Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 217. The next message for our consideration is message 339 to House Bill 127, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 339 on House Bill 127 concurrence and ask you to vote no. We have been piddled upon and told that it is raining once again. This is a nine-page concurrence request, and it's going to take quite a bit of time to get back to the House position. We will do our best, and I would urge you to vote no.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 127. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison. Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman, Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart excused, Laux,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Vronish,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 127. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends of the 61st throughout the galleries, and if they could all stand up, we have high school and college students here from the Wyoming Trio in Gear Up programs. They are here to talk and to visit with us about educational access issues. Trio and Gear Up are federally funded programs that provide assistance and support to first-generation college students, students with limited incomes, students traditionally underrepresented in higher education, and students with disabilities who aspire to gain admission to it and succeed in higher education. They are here from Casper, Cheyenne, and Laramie, and they are with five different programs, and if we could give them a round of applause and welcome them. And friends, they were responsible for that great piece of chocolate we got on our desk yesterday.
We're at that order of business, adoption of conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 101. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 101 and would ask for your aye vote. The House added a little bit of language in the standing committee, and the Senate didn't like it. It really doesn't have any substantive change, in my opinion, to the bill. The House rescinded from its position, and we would ask for your aye vote.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File 101. The majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 101. We are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the interesting jobs of Majority Floor Leader is to pay attention to the weather. The weather report for tomorrow is that it's going to start snowing tonight and it's going to snow during the day and get worse as people travel north. With that in mind, with your permission, what I would like to do is proceed through Senate File 124 today with a hope of getting out early tomorrow. So that would be 12 bills today. They're not, I always try to estimate if they're engendering a lot of debate or not. I've given up on that, but my assumption is that maybe that's not the case, that there's a lot of debate on all of these. There'll be some on some of them, I think. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Botten.
The committee of the whole will come to order. Nothing witty to say. Let's get 10 done before lunch. Let's get to work. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 90. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Nutting, an act relating to the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act. This bill was referred to committee number 10. Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Gay, Gingrey, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Peasley, No, Barbuto, Miller, signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman, you just got a promotion.
I'll take the promotion. Thank you.
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 90 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and I will turn the explanation of the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to the wonderful representative from House District 32.
Representative Kasparic.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate File 90 is a bill that addresses the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act, specifically the part that deals with assessment of the cost of disciplinary proceedings. And it has two major changes in the bill. You have before you the House Standing Committee, which addresses, it actually adds a new section, 332147, under disciplining licenses and procedure. and it discusses the discipline of a license or a temporary permit holder or action against an applicant for a license or temporary permit. This has been in place, and this language hasn't specifically changed until lines 21 through 26, which states the board may assess against the cost not to exceed $2,500 of a disciplinary hearing, a disciplinary investigation, or any other disciplinary proceeding before the board involving the license or certificate. That's the wrong one. That's a house. Sorry. Let me go back to the one. That's one I want you to vote for. So let me go back to the one that is a house standing. And this one states that the board may assess against a discipline license or certificate holder the partial. Still trying to do the same thing. Hold on. Aha, I hit it good. The board may assess against a licensee or certificate holder the partial or full cost not to exceed $2,500 of a disciplinary hearing, a disciplinary investigation, or any other proceeding before the board involving the license or certificate holder if the board suspends or revokes the licensee's license or temporary permit. So I go on to explain the bill. I'll also explain the committee of the whole amendment and move that at the appropriate time. What this bill does is the Wyoming State Board of Nursing is charged with protecting the safety of the public. And in doing that, when complaints come before the State Board, they will investigate those complaints. All complaints get investigated. Those complaints can be brought by the public, the facility, the board. They're investigated by members of the board staff. And then, depending on that outcome, there are referrals made to board members sitting as a disciplinary. And it varies from case to case depending on the background. This disciplinary committee makes determinations of violations and recommends several different processes. They can dismiss it, so there would be no violation, that there was nothing founded to incur the complaint. And about a third of the complaints result in dismissal. They can give a notice of warning, they can find clear and convincing evidence of a violation and recommend a range of actions at that point in time. There can be a notice of warning, a letter to the licensee or certificate holder that violation was found, but there will be no formal discipline. It wasn't serious enough to put the person on a national registry where their license or certificate would be encumbered. They can receive a letter of recommend, which is a public discipline, and the certificate holder or licensee is reported to a national registry. A conditional license is very rarely used against a certificate holder, which the certificate holders, the common title for these persons are certified nursing assistants. The conditional licenses is used mostly for nurse. And at that point in time, the nurse is reported to the National Registry. The person is allowed to keep his or her license under conditions that may include participation in a drug monitoring program, participation in a treatment program, continuing education, have a worksite monitor, restrictions or access to controlled substances, such as narcotic prescriptions. Or they can go to a next level, which would be voluntary surrender of license or certificate, which is very rarely done, or there can be revocation or summary suspension of a license, which also is very rare. The issue which brought this before the board and before our body is the fact that the cost of disciplinary actions has increased tremendously. Complaints have increased from 200, have increased considerably. And again, before that happens, most have a signed settlement agreement. They decide what the discipline or no discipline is. They sign that and they go on with life, whatever that decision is. At times, the person who is disciplined can request a hearing. This is where they have seen a huge increase, 150% increase in a 1-year period of time. The problem that's led to the change in this bill is the fact that after they request this hearing, there's a lot of legal things that are done by the State Board that incurs cost. Clerk fees, writing, doing more investigation, getting appropriate papers in writing. Unfortunately, there's 140% of those who requested the hearing who are no-shows. And so the board is left with the incurred cost and have already spent considerable amounts of money to prepare for the court's hearing. They would like to be able to retrieve some of that cost. And that is, right now, that's done through licensing fees of all nurses and certificates. Unfortunately, only 2% of anyone who holds a certificate or a license really incurs a discipline. And 98%, yeah, we're trying to avoid 98% of the certificate holders and licensees to be assessed for the cost of this court. So we're attempting to assess through the, from the person who was disciplined. So that takes us to the Standing Committee Amendment. The Committee of the Whole Amendment agrees with that almost completely, but changes lines 30 through 36, which states that the board may assess against a discipline license certificate holder the partial or full cost not to exceed $2,500 of a disciplinary hearing, a disciplinary investigation, or any other disciplinary proceeding before the board involving the license certificate holder. This clarifies language about certificate holders and discusses all those levels of discipline that I discussed. One other change in the bill that you will find on page 3, and it's from line 17 through 20. And this one just adds a statement that says, has violated a previously entered board order. The reason that this was added in here is that when the board applies a discipline, such as they might put conditions on the license where they have to go to a treatment program or be monitored, they have no way to go back and enforce that until that person comes up for licensure. This gives the State Board the opportunity to impose more discipline and impose more incentive for the person to comply with the discipline that was delivered. And I would stand for any questions. And I.
We're on the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the Standing Committee Amendment, and just to explain what the committee did, number one, the reason the amendment looks a little long is they had this assessment part in a different section. They had it in the section where they can adopt a seal and things like that. So we moved it over to where we thought was appropriate to be, over where the actual disciplining was going on. And all they're asking for is when they have a hearing, it costs money to have a hearing. And they want to assess the person, the cost of the hearing. So this isn't the fine. This isn't the revocation of your license or suspension of your license. It's not the punishment part. It's you're going to pay for the cost of whatever it costs to bring in the hearing examiner, you know, if they served coffee at the hearing or whatever, the cost of that got put in there, up to $2,500. But here's where the committee sort of differed a little bit with the bringer of the bill, and she's trying to put it back the way she wants it in her committee, the whole amendment, which is fine too, but I'll just sort of explain what our thinking was in committee. All we've changed is, and what the distinction between these two amendments are, what the Standing Committee Amendment does, it says you only pay the assessment if the board suspends or revokes your license. We sort of saw it from this point of view that if I didn't do anything wrong and somebody accused me of something and they bring me in for this hearing and I have to sit there for a day and hear all these false accusations, and finally at the end of the hearing they say, oh my gosh, we're really sorry we brought you in here. You didn't do this. You had nothing to do with it. And, you know, have a nice day. And by the way, here's your assessment of $2,500 for the hearing. Suddenly, I didn't do it. I didn't commit this offense. It was proven in a hearing that I didn't do the offense.
but they still want to hand me the bill for the cost of the hearing. So that's why we just stuck in this last little provision at the bottom that says you're only going to pay the assessment if you're found, you know, that you actually did it. But so they really are going to suspend your license or revoke your license. But if you didn't have anything to do with it, why should you have to pay the assessment? And so I'd urge you to vote for the standing committee amendment and let that stand, and that we only assess if you actually are proven that you did this, and that if you're completely innocent, that you should not be having to pay the costs.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Standing in support of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. And, ladies and gentlemen, I was struggling with this bill, mainly because I do think it is appropriate to recoup these expenses from your fees for licensure. And I really worry about heading in this direction in our professional boards, that we do somewhat erode our due process, and I'm curious, I guess a question, where else do we see this in our statutes, and how big a problem this really is, and why in fact, when we have some what appears to be some overreaching problems in our nursing profession, why doesn't the profession accept these responsibilities through recouping these expenses through fees and licensures? Thank you.
Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Chairman, I stand against the standing committee amendment. And again, we do accept most of it. We just have a teeny little piece that we differ on. You know, so we believe that it is in the right place now. There's no question about that. It's moved from duties of the board to disciplining licensees, which is appropriate. But when we think about the assessing of fees, very, very rarely is a license revoked or suspended. You know, it does happen in cases, and most often, you know, there is the Attorney General's office has found due cause for this to happen, and they are rarely appealed. Where the difficulty has arisen is in the last, I want to say 2 years, the State Board of Nursing has taken on the responsibility of certificate holders, which is certified nursing assistants. Unfortunately, this is a group of people that have incurred most of the cost associated with the investigations. They appeal the hearings, even though the Attorney General's office has already found, you know, cause for the action that the board has taken. They work at a salary that is very low. It's not going to usually stop that their name has already been submitted on a national list, you know, from their place of employment. And they don't follow through with the hearings. So the board is still going to the expense of all of this, and these people are not showing up. They've gone down the street to get another job that's paying them the same amount of money and not pursuing the certified position any longer. When you get to the level of the registered nurse, her fees are substantially higher, her licenses are property. It's her profession, his profession, and, you know, there you don't see the same kinds of appeals, no-shows, and problems at this level. So I would urge you to vote against the Standing Committee Amendment, and at the appropriate time, I will move the Committee of the Whole Amendment. Thank you.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. We're back on the bill. Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the floor rises, it stands in support of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest we vote aye. I think it messes everything up, but I think if you don't adopt the committee of the whole amendment, we have a bigger problem. So I think we should adopt the committee of the whole amendment, and we'll try to do a cleanup tomorrow on second reading, because I just don't think legally you can be assessing against people that were never did anything wrong. It just seems so odd to me that now we're saying you had absolutely nothing to do with this, you did not do anything wrong, but we're still going to send you the bill at the end of the day. That just seems to fly in the face of everything that we hold in the rule of law, that you're innocent until proven guilty, except in nursing, I guess, now we send you a bill.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, having been married for 48 years to a retired LPN who was also on the board of nursing, and I definitely agree with the bill and the amendment, vote aye.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to add to the list of reasons to be against this, it seems to defy my rights against incriminating myself as well when we're forced to pay for an investigation. And I'm trying to figure envision a scenario where perhaps a CNA walks into a room and perhaps someone that's bedridden has fallen out of their bed, and this poor person panics and was maybe 5 minutes late, and I can just see the order, this poor person just getting slammed and with this investigation and charges that perhaps exceed their ability to pay, and when in fact what we should be looking at is a more broad view of the world. And, you know, I just see people getting singled out with this, and all for the sake of trying to recoup some expenses that could be borne by the whole profession. Now, again, I can't disagree that perhaps this is better than the language in there. But that said, Mr. Chairman, if this holds through third reading, I can do nothing else but vote against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Kasperk.
Mr. Chairman, having been a nurse for more years than some of you were born, I can attest that I have investigated many, many, many complaints against licenses and certificate holders in my capacity as a nurse, in my capacity as a nurse educator, and in my capacity as a human resource manager. I cooperated with state boards of nursing on investigations of licenses and certificates. Again, we're there for public safety. The state board is there for the safety of the public. You all want to know that the person who is caring for you is doing so in a good way and is held accountable if they do something in a bad way. And unfortunately, I would imagine most of us have stories where that's happened. It's not to say that complaints sometimes are brought against people for not the right reasons. And the majority, and those are tossed out. They are investigated, they're looked at, but most of those do not go to any type of a disciplinary action. I would also encourage you to look at the wording on the amendment. It does say may. The state board assures me that they're not looking to seek reimbursement from people whose decisions have, you know, the disciplinary actions have been overturned. They will deal with that when they write rules and regs, which complement the statute for the nursing state board. And I would work with the good Speaker Pro Tem on any third reading amendment that he feels would make this a better, stronger bill, that would help the State Board incur some of the costs that they are seeing and would also help to keep the public safe. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At great risk, when I return back home tonight or this weekend, because my wife happens to be an RN also, this bill, I was a no in committee, and what I didn't like about this bill is that it seemed to allow this licensing board to raise money, possibly by going after more nurses here. They're a self-funded organization anyway. If they need more money, just raise the fees they charge the nurses right now and let it fall. But the way it's written now, I'm going to be a no on the amendment and, frankly, a no on the bill right now. If it can get fixed by the third reading, then I might be able to change. But I'm not for sure anything's broke right here.
Last word, Representative Kasparek.
Licensing fees, certificate fees for CNAs is not a huge expense. Licensing fees for nursing has increased considerably over the past several years. This is because while the responsibilities of the State Board doesn't change, they still have to manage the State Board, they have to manage the statutes, they have to manage all of the committees that every other state do. Our lower population doesn't bring in quite as many fees as some of the other states. So they have already raised the fees considerably. And I think they will do that as appropriate. They are trying not to punish 98% of the certificate holders and license holders who do a good job every day keeping you safe, keeping your family safe. Thank you.
All right, we're on committee to whole amendment number one. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
While the chair is in doubt, all in favor, please rise. All opposed, please rise. It appears committee of the whole amendment number one has failed. We are back on the bill. Representative Barbrudo? Okay. Oh, we're fighting. Let's take our fights outdoors, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure what to do with the bill now, because if you look at it, what we're back to now, because we didn't adopt either amendment, now you go back to page 2 and actually the bill, and in this weird section that talks about adopting a seal, and that's like, you know, just a pretty seal that might have a picture on it and says RN on it. In that same section, they've stuck in this little provision that says now you can assess for any reason. Either one of those amendments would at least clarify that. Now it's really messed up. So I'm not sure if we want to go spend the time and fix this on second reading and do the same exact amendments tomorrow when we've already done them. And I hate doing that because we've already had the chance to debate them. I hate bringing back the same exact amendment a second time. The body has spoken. So it may be appropriate just to vote no on the bill unless someone really didn't understand the first few amendments and want those amendments to come back and we debate them again tomorrow. It's just a little confusing. Now, my whole point with this is I don't mind if someone's going to assess the cost. We don't do that we do it for a few other licensing boards, I think. I think we found one or two. What the main concern I had was, in how this is written now, how the bill stands now, is that assessment goes against you even if you did nothing wrong. If you got falsely accused of something, you're that poor 18, 19-year-old CNA and somebody accused you of something and you get dragged in front of a hearing examiner and it turns out you didn't do anything wrong. And suddenly you're getting a bill for $2,500? That just doesn't seem right. Now, if you did something wrong and you got your license suspended, I don't know what problem if they send you the bill then. But I just totally disagree with this idea that we're going to start assessing people that are completely innocent.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm ready. I was awfully confused there, and I was trying to remember back to the committee and why exactly I voted no. And then I remembered it was because I was so confused, which is not something I ought to do all the time. I'd end up voting no quite a bit. But anyhow, I agree with the comments of the good speaker pro tem. As far as other boards and agencies are concerned, I hadn't heard any discussed in committee that had the same kind of authority to assess against the licensee the those costs. And I don't think that if it's not fair for one board, I don't think it ought to be for another. And maybe at some point the good speaker pro tem could start looking through all those statutes and bring a bill next session to to make them all consistent. But I would recommend, because it is confusing, and I think that it could probably be drafted better in the future, perhaps even, that we would vote no today and maybe work on this for days to come. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as I have listened for many, many weeks now, the debate on this floor, I believe there are people sitting on this floor that have the wherewithal to bring forth a clarifying amendment on second reading. And that's what I would urge this body to do, move the bill forward, bring forth clarifying an amendment on second or third reading, preferably second reading, so we can have a chance for the good gentleman from the Green River to area to clear his mind when he reads it and not be confused. And anyway, that's what I'd like to see us do with the bill.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill, and I agree with the good chair of TRW, there are points about the bill that you may not like, and there are amendments and things that were discussed apparently in committee, and I'm not on the committee, that are fixable. And I think it's an important enough issue that we proceed forward. And I happen to disagree that we wait until the next session to do that. That's what the purpose of the amendments are. And I think the bringer of the bill and the good speaker pro tem could sit down together and talk about these differences and work them out. So I'm on and for the bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, believe this bill is worthy of our favorable consideration. I think that we can work out the differences and come back with a second reading amendment. I'm certainly volunteering my services to help with that as well. I believe that this is an issue that needs to be discussed, and I think that it's worthy of our aye vote on this first reading.
Representative Barbuto.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of clarification for the good gentleman from Lander. I was born and raised on the banks of the Bitter Creek, not the Green River.
Thank you. Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Chairman, I would urge when you vote that you vote favorably for this bill. It has lots of good merit. Do not let a somewhat anemic defense by the bringer of the bill put down the good merits of the bill. I'm convinced that we can work on some good amendments and can make it a bill that you can feel proud to pass. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I know we've spent way too much time on this bill, but let me just clarify here. There's really no amendments to work out. It's the same two amendments you saw today, because we're disagreeing on that. The one amendment that the Standing Committee amendment was the amendment. We voted that down. Then the other amendment was to to go against the innocent, too. We voted that down. So it's not as if there's some amendment miraculously to go right. It's the same two amendments. And we'll certainly bring those same two again tomorrow, and we can have the same debate again. I'm not sure if that's how this body should work, that we do two amendments, and then we do the same two amendments the next day. But we can certainly do that. But I just wanted to make that was clear, because everyone was talking about they're going to go right amendments. There's no amendments to go right. It's these two amendments.
Representative Kasperic?
Again, I would urge your support. I do believe that we will bring back a good portion of one of the amendments with some clarification that I think will make it a better bill. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 90 do pass. Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. Senate File 90 has failed a standing vote. No, I'm sorry. It has passed. I'm sorry. These cards are great. All right, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the risk of missing lunch because or not wanting to risk missing lunch when I am amazed at our ability to debate that last bill. I had it scheduled for 10 minutes. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, no. The motion carries. Committee reports. Oh, don't all rush up at once. Vice Chair Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, number 9, minerals, will be meeting upon adjournment in room H18 with our counterparts from down the hall to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 8 will meet upon adjournment this afternoon in S15.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet with our counterparts down the hall today, Thursday, upon adjournment in room H17 to finalize our discussion on interim topics.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, will meet with its like counterparts down the hall at upon adjournment today in room H10, where we will finalize our interim topic discussions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two announcements. Your concurrence committee on House Bill 20 will meet at noon in the Senate labor room. I'm not sure what that is. And your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet upon noon recess tomorrow in room H17 with our light counterpart to finalize our interim topics.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, apparently I created some confusion. I meant adjournment at noon, not this evening. Recess today. So we'll be meeting at noon up in the H-10.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Conference Committee on House Bill 74 will continue meeting today at 4:15 in S-1.
All right, appears we're all done with that, so we'll sit again at 1:30.